Our 2023 theme has been rebuild, restore, and renew. And we started our year in three phases. Phase one is we wanted to talk about our relationship with God, and we looked at the qualities of God, and we wanted to really re-examine our own beliefs. Who is the God that we serve? What are his eternal qualities? And am I worshiping the one true God, or have I constructed a God in my own image as opposed to the God in the Bible? So that's the primary relationship that we wanted to look at, our relationship with God. After that, we concentrated on our relationships with one another. Who are we in the eyes of God? We say that we are the church, but what does that word mean? And we looked at what that word church means, that the church is a group of people as opposed to a building who acknowledge Jesus as the head, but also who submit to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. We looked at what does the word say about our relationships with one another. How should we speak to one another? How should we encourage one another? How should we treat one another? What does the Bible say about how members of the church should treat one another? And obviously, we ask these questions to really ask ourselves, well, to what degree is my behavior aligned with God's word? Because we are in a spiritual battle. And what Satan wants to do is he wants to destroy whatever good God is doing in your life. And so as Satan tries to destroy, we must evaluate and realign ourselves with God's word and ask ourselves, what in my spiritual character needs to be rebuilt, restored, or renewed? Every single one of us must be about that personal work. Yes, it's great to be able to come together and hear God's word and enjoy the singing at a corporate level, but there is hard work that we need to do as individuals to make sure that we allow the Holy Spirit to keep doing his work inside of us. Amen? The final phase that we will look at is our relationships with the world. Who are the people in the world? What is their spiritual condition? And what instruction does the Word of God give about my relationship with those who are in the world? In the scriptures, there is a very clear distinction between those who belong to the world and those who belong to Christ. We're going to read John 3, verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. John 3, 16 to 17 reveals two important truths. That God loves the world. He loves all people in the world. Whatever race, whatever creed, whatever language you speak, whatever country you live in, God loves every human being in the world. God does not hate anybody. He loves the world. The second great truth that is revealed in John 3, 16 to 17, is that God sent his son to save the world. The world needs to be saved. If the world did not need to be saved, we would have no need for Jesus. And God would not have to send his son into the world. But remember, we saw last week that the very name Jesus was given because Jesus was sent on a mission. It says, the angel told Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. No other Old Testament prophet was ever given a mission like this, to save people from their sins. That responsibility was only given to Jesus. Abraham could not save people from their sins, nor Moses, nor Elisha. No one has been given that responsibility. Not the Dalai Lama, not the Pope, not Prophet Muhammad. In the eyes of God, only Jesus was sent to save people from their sins. You see, brothers and sisters, sin is the problem. Sin is my problem. Sin is your problem. Sin is the problem of the world. And according to the scriptures, the only person who can save the world from their sins is Jesus. If you want to deal with your sin, the only person that you can speak to or who can help you solve that problem is Jesus. John 15. Now in this passage, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And John 15 is coming down to the end of Jesus' life. And during the end of Jesus' life, in his final days, he spent quite a bit of time speaking with his disciples. And the passage that we're going to read here, Jesus is not speaking to a group of people. He's speaking to his disciples, the 12. And he says this, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I have told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Now in this passage, Jesus says something that you can easily miss. But Jesus makes it very clear that there are those who belong to the world and there are those who belong to him. And he says this in verse 19. He says, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, they do not belong to the world. Clearly, at one point, they must have belonged to the world. But then at some point, they did not belong to the world. And what we ought to be curious is how does somebody first belong to the world and then not belong to the world? What is that process? Now, in this verse, the Bible is not very clear exactly. Right here, these verses that I read doesn't say what the process is, but Jesus says something very important. He says, they made that transition because I have chosen you. Very important. So, there's a fog clearing now, and what we're understanding is that the disciples were once part of the world, but because of Jesus' personal involvement in their lives, they now are not part of the world. Now, isn't that interesting? And this may be a little complicated. And you've heard me say that at different times, I really didn't like mathematics growing up. I'll say that about 90% of my math classes that I attended at high school. But there was 10% that I really enjoyed. And included in the 10% is when I learned about the Venn diagram. Now, the Venn diagram helps us to visualize difficult mathematical concepts. I love the Venn diagrams. And I've produced one here for you to understand this spiritual concept that we just talked about. Jesus makes a distinction between those who belong to him and those who belong to the world. In the big blue circle are all the people who belong to the world. All the people who are alive today, you are part of the world. But then there's a smaller red circle. If you're in that red circle, you belong to Christ. And the question is, how do you get from the blue circle into the red circle? Jesus is saying to his disciples, they were in the blue circle. But now they're in the red circle. He's saying, you belong to me. And the question you have to ask yourself is, who do you belong to? What circle are you in? Are you in the blue circle? Or are you in the red circle? Or are you in a fog? There's no yellow in there. There's no purple in there. You're either in one circle or the other. Don't you love the Venn diagram? It makes it very, very clear, isn't it? Further on in the Gospel of John, John 17, Jesus, and this is an important prayer. Now, we're not going to read the whole prayer, but Jesus is actually, this is one of his final prayers to God. And he's actually praying about his disciples. He's praying to God, and he's praying about the men who he chose to carry on his work. He says, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost, except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. What I like about these verses is that they provide us with some understanding of how the disciples made the transition from belonging to the world to belonging to Christ. And when we read this passage, we see that the Word of God played a central role in that transition. Remember, we're trying to figure out how does somebody get out of the world and into Christ. The Word of God played a central role in that transition. Just consider the following verses. John 17:6. I've revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. John 17:8. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Obviously, the word of God, they accepted them. John 17:14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. And then John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So God's word played a critical role in helping Jesus' disciples make the transition from belonging to the world to belonging to him. And this is all in John 17:6-19. First, we see that the disciples were given the word of God. That Jesus came and he gave them something that they did not have. Next, we see that the disciples accepted the word of God. The things that they were taught, they accepted. The other thing we see is not only did they accept the word of God, but they obeyed the word of God. They accepted it and they said, okay, now we're going to obey the word of God. Lastly, he says that the disciples were sanctified by the word of God. Now, what does that mean? Sanctification is a spiritual process whereby the inner being of a person's character is being constantly transformed to align it with the teachings of Christ. You see, when someone becomes a Christian, when someone becomes a follower of Christ, there's still battles that they have to fight, all right? And you still have to go through a process of spiritual maturation in order to have your feelings and your behavior and your thought processes aligned with Christ. It's not just that you become a Christian, you get into the red circle, and you're good. No, there's constant work that has to be done in order for us to mature spiritually. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, they were given the word, they accepted the word, they obeyed the word, and they were sanctified by the word. And this is a passage that let me go back. And these words sort of gives you an idea of how the disciples transitioned out of the red circle and of the blue circle into the red circle. Amen? Now, what really amazes me about this is that many, many people go to church. Many, many people claim to believe in Jesus, but have no clue as to what Jesus taught. None. Have never really opened the Bible and really wrestled with some of Jesus' hard teachings. And you got to ask yourself, okay, well, if the word of God was so instrumental in transforming the disciples, they were given the word, they accepted the word, they obeyed the word, they sanctified the word, how can I really say that I'm in the red circle if I don't even read the Bible or don't even know the teachings of Jesus? See, these are things that we've got to really look at and try to evaluate our own personal lives and ask ourselves, am I aligned with the scriptures? Am I following the teachings of Jesus? Have I exalted his teachings in my own heart? Or is it that I'm just kind of going along and doing what everybody else is doing just because everybody else is doing it? We've got to put a lot of thought, brothers, sisters, and friends, into what we believe and why we believe it. This passage also articulates the relationship that Jesus' followers ought to have with the world. He says it in John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. Now remember the first scripture that we read in John 3? God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his one and only son. Now look at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, as you sent me into the world, which we got from John 3:16, I have sent them into the world. So if we are understanding the connection here, Jesus has extracted people who belong to the world and made them his. But he didn't make them his people to put them up on a mountaintop and to distance and disassociate themselves from the world. He didn't do that. He brought these people, made them belong to him, but he's also told them that you have to be concerned about the spiritual condition of the world that you live in. You can't just ignore people's spiritual needs. As God has sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent us into the world. And so the people who belong to Christ now play an important role because we act as ambassadors of Christ to those who do not belong to him. God's will and God's desire is to expand the red circle. You feeling me? That's what God wants, to expand the red circle. But it cannot happen if we do not obey the command to go into all the world. And that is the whole heart of our fall campaign. Now, of course, the world has how many billions of people? You and I know there's no way we can really save everyone. But we can do our part. We can do our part right here in the corner of the globe that God has put us in. And so what's cool is that we got some e-church invites. Thank you, Naeem and Daniel Tate, for doing this. Thank you guys so much. You should have received your e-invite. And we also got some physical invites. If you'd like some copies, they're outside in the lobby area. Thank you, Derek and Lucette, for taking care of this for us. I just love it when everybody kind of pitches in and does their thing. And I was so encouraged by all the brothers and sisters who were either at the equipping class or at the prayer time or went out into the Flushing area. It really boosted my heart. Unfortunately, I was a little sick this past weekend, so I wasn't able to go. But definitely, I'd like to go to Flushing this weekend. Rob and I will go and do our part. We definitely want to be involved with the campaign. We talked about our four-week plan. Next week, we're going to be in Latin America, and in a little bit, we're going to have Pablo and Claudia Becerra come forward and just share a little bit about our trip. Make sure you got your passports ready to go on the 7 train. And a reminder, we will have our equipping classes. One is today at 4, and the other is on Thursday at 7:30 p.m., and of course, on Fridays, we have our weekly prayer times on Zoom every Friday, 7:30 p.m. We know not everyone is going to be able to make it and to go out into the Corona area. But hey, everyone can do something. Everyone can play a role, especially in praying. Because the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So if everyone can just do a little that they can, God will take the little that we have to offer, and he will multiply it. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for calling us out of the world and showing us your word, and we're thankful that we belong to you. And Father, we know that you want all people to belong to you. And we pray that if anyone is here in the audience and they've come to the realization that they do not belong to you, God, your arms are open wide. You open wide your arms to all of us sinners. And you love us so much that you're willing to forgive us of all of our sins. I pray that those who desire to get into the red circle, ask someone who brought them here, please teach me the word so that I can know how to get in to the red circle. Father, we thank you. We pray you bless our efforts as we plant and water. to make your word known to all men and women of every nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.